King James Version.
Blog Talk Radio.
The mediocrity that I won't accept. As long as God give me life, I'm gonna give my best. Greater is in me than what your eyes can see. My current situation is not the best of me. Not because you tried it and it never worked out. Don't try to discourage me or fill me with doubt. Faith is the substance of things so far and the evidence of things that I've not seen.
I'm gonna go higher. Don't tell me that I can go higher. There's more than
to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight it is a pleasure to be here once again on this blessed evening. Thank you for all those who are out there listening and tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. We truly appreciate you, each and every one of you who are here faithfully each and every night and who are striving to do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We have a powerful teaching, and it's going to be part two in our series, and it's going to be on talking about divine healing, the strong men of unbelief, and that's going to be given by Brother Emmett Overton. We would like to thank the sponsors for allowing this teaching to be put on tonight, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Wallace, Reverend Hamilton, Reverend A.T. Jackson, Reverend Walker, and Dr. Thomas. Amen. Also, thank you to the churches who are in attendance as well that are under the fellowship, are fellowshipping with these fine gentlemen tonight. We'd like to thank you as well for tuning in and allowing us to be able to be heard worldwide. Amen. All right. Now, we have a couple of shout-outs, and that's going to be given by Brother John. He has a couple of his pastoral friends that he would like to recognize here. And then after the shout-outs, we're going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Brother Emmett to get ready for tonight's teaching on divine healing, the strong man of unbelief. Brother John, you have the mic.
Good evening, all. This is Brother John speaking. I want to give a few shout-outs to a couple of brothers of mine. That is Pastor Watson, Pastor Ellen, Pastor Baker, Pastor Lattimore, Pastor Pigpen, Pastor Appleton, Dr. Walker, Dr. Tillman, Dr. Allaby, and Dr. Thornton. God bless you, brothers, and I know you're going to enjoy the session tonight. Be blessed. Over and out.
Amen. Thank you there, Brother John, for those shout-outs. All right, folks, let's see here. Without further ado, let's go ahead and bring Brother Emmett on. Brother Emmett, can you hear me?
Yeah, Pastor Brother Mike, can you hear me also?
Yes, sir, I got you.
Okay. All right. We want to thank you for listening tonight for our second phase in divine healing. We talked about healing in the Bible. We gave you scriptures where Jesus healed a third of his ministry, was involved with healing. We did that yesterday. Now what we're going to do is to teach you what comes up against when you read that and what would try to stop you from believing it. It's the strong man of unbelief, doubt, and it's rooted because the provisions for healing is in the Bible. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We thank you that you can deliver any of us who has been oppressed of any satanic interventions or any malevolent spirits that have bothered or troubled us through bloodline sins or through any open doors of ignorance. We ask that the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah, cleanse us from all of our sins at this opportunity. It is written, if we confess our fault, he is just and able to forgive us for all unrighteousness. And God put in my spirit that ask the Lord to forgive you before we hear the word, we have it more clear. Because he says that you are clean by the word, John 15:3. So let this word cleanse our spirit. We have to rid ourselves from the filthiness of both the spirit of the flesh and in the spirit, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Lord, we thank you for that you allow me to become your oracle tonight. We take authority over Beelzebub, the prince of darkness, and any other spirit that would try to hinder this broadcast. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen. Surely he has borne our grief, sickness, and carried our sorrows, pain. Yet we esteem him smitten, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. For the transgressions of my people were stricken. He was numbered with the transgressor and bore the sins of many and made intercessions for us and for our transgression. Amplified version of Isaiah 53:4-5 and also Isaiah 8:12. God, through Isaiah, raised the question, who has believed our report? All to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed in Isaiah 53:1. What is the full report? What is the full gospel based on Isaiah 53 tells us all that Jesus Christ did at Golgotha for us? What did Jesus take upon himself in our behalf from all sicknesses and infirmities? He was despised, one, and rejected of his own people, two, and forsaken. Now, we're talking about divine healing, but the forsaken and the rejected and the despised can be also implemented for a phragmatic soul that needs to be healed. A man of sorrow and pain and acquitted with grief and sicknesses. Surely he has borne our grief, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distress, and carried our sorrow and pain at Golgotha. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and our iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Jesus. And with his stripes and all the wounds that he had, he was healed and made whole for us. This is why we don't need to be sick. So there are many unbelieving believers who do not appropriate the full benefits of Isaiah 53:3-5. They have appropriated the salad and bypassed the other good items. The devil's goal is to keep us in unbelief toward any form of healing. He's going to use the mind, Ezekiel 38:10. He's going to use the thought process. He's going to do anything he can to tell you you are not healed. I don't care if the doctor said you got 6 months. Do not allow him to tell you that and put that in your spirit to accept. The devil is in the trouble. If we believe the full report, we're going to be in trouble with the devil. He torments and defeats us by keeping us in unbelief, so that we cannot appropriate the full benefits of the cross. Satan binds the minds. Wait 1 minute, this dog got to go outside at the wrong time. Devil is in trouble if we believe his report. He torments and defeats us by keeping us in unbelief. And when these thoughts come at you guys, and you're trying to believe something, it's impossible that you're going to go through it because you don't have enough word in you. The devil will take it away. Mark 4:15, that's how he takes the word away from you, takes the benefits. Satan blinds the minds and the hearers of men. But even if our gospel is valid, it is valid to those who are perishing, whose mind of the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ as the image of God should shine on him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3-4. Jesus explained why he taught in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, hear me, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ear, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. Matthew 13:13-15, Amplified. But to his true disciples, he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In verse 16, Paul was speaking of those who was not saved because Satan has blinded their minds through unbelief. They were unable to see the provisions at Golgotha in a broader application. This truth applies to all who Satan has blinded from seeing all that Golgotha has to provide on the tree. That's where he died. It was a tree. It wasn't a cross. It was a tree. And this is how the enemy blocks us from getting divine healing. Satan wants us to be double-minded about what God is and what he says. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways in James 1:8. In the Amplified Version, it reads, for being as he is a man of two minds, hasting, irrelevant, unstable, unreliable, uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. My God. Ask in faith with no doubting, the Bible says. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. This is a main reason why people cannot get healed. They're double-minded. They believe. Now, I showed you all the provisions of what Jesus did in the first series yesterday, so I don't want to go back over that. All the benefits of being healed, we've seen that. But here on this segment, God is trying to show you what blocks you from getting healed. your belief with two minds, double-minded, Psalms 12:2, a double heart. Man, that's you one person one way, and then here come you trying to get healed, and here this other personality kicks in. Thank God for the minister of deliverance, because I had suffered from this and still do to this day. If it wasn't for me reading in the Word, I'd get delivered every day with that. Everybody got something that they're dealing with and deal with it, because Christ has given us provisions to deal with it for whatever it is. But this is one of the main reasons why people cannot get healed, because they're double-minded, they won't trust God, they get impatient, they get frustrated. Now, how are you going to get healed with all the negative energy, which is, belongs to the kingdom of darkness, and you using his tools, and yet you say you're in the kingdom of God? It's absurd. We cannot receive anything from God apart from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe. Hebrews 11:6. So if you don't have faith, and the devil has brought all this up to you, you done lost what you believe in for, because he done bombarded you with so much. God is going to set us free from the spirit of unbelief, deafness, and dumbness. We are going to get rid of this unbelief in our lives so we can see and hear what God is saying to us at this hour, brother. We got to get rid of the unbelief. We have to get rid of it, because that is the strong man that's blocking you from your healing. Isaiah 42:1 and Isaiah 42:6-7. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect, one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Lord, have mercy. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you a covenant to the people as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison. That's demons, getting them free from demonic activity. Those who sit in darkness from the prison house. My God. We once was children of darkness. Now we are children of the light. I want you to start thinking of light, life, and it has to come to be brightness to darkness. Here comes to open up our understanding when we get into the Word. See, the Word is the key to this, and faith. Read what it says, believe it. Don't let the stronghold of unbelief twist you, and you got to believe for something. And you got to have patience. Because when you start looking at your eyes, every time you look at something, it blocks our faith. That's the natural. I've held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in the path they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Hear ye deaf and look, you blind, that you may see. But this is a people robbed and plundered. And most Christians are like that. They don't have a clue on how to get healed. Some of them don't even know certain scriptures in the Bible about healing. You got to first know that. And if you can believe God wherever you at with your faith, anything and all things are possible. Mark 9:23. Remember that. God, excuse me. I'm sorry. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe but me. But if I do through my Father, believe me. Believe me that the works that I may know that the Father in me and I in him. At John 10:37-38, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the work themselves. Belief in Jesus is so essential that Jesus exhorted those to whom he ministered to that they could not get healed if they didn't believe. You remember the story last night of Matthew? They said, Lord, if we can just touch you. See, the strong man of unbelief will say, no, just touch him ain't going to work. You won't get healed. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. That's what you need to say when that thought comes. You say, it's in Isaiah 53:5. He suffered, secured our peace. The word peace means well-being or blessedness. The stripes and the wealth that was inflicted on him had made us sound and well based on 1 Peter 2:24. The promise from Isaiah whom himself bore our sins is in our own body on the tree, if we believe that we have died to sin by faith and might live by righteousness, by whom stripes we heal and have accepted the reconciliation of forgiveness, and have accepted being justified just as you have never sinned, and have accepted the order of sanctification to be set apart. When these principles are implemented into your life, healing is there. We were sick unto death because of our sin, but he, the sinless one, took upon himself a suffering unto death, the penalty we deserve in accordance with the counsel of the divine love, that Jesus became the source of our healing. He became a curse that we might be blessed. Now, you see, when the enemy is coming to you, he's going to come in your mind. Oh, he's coming in the mind, your eyes, anything in the natural to block you for what you believe in. Brother Tommy, a brother in Finland, had a miracle, and we recorded him on our segment. Go into our history of our YouTube videos, and he explained how God healed him. And he said the devil was telling him, you ain't not going to get healed. Thoughts were just bombarding him. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10, 9 through 10. And if we believe that, we qualify for all of the gifts that God has for us and all of the miracles and healing that is assigned to us even from the beginning of the world. But when we read in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Paul, quoting Isaiah, says, they have not all believed or obeyed this report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and believing God's report. Are we believing all of the report or some of it? Now, when you start rationalizing, analyze, my God, that gets yourself in a very bad position, Jesus, to receive healing. Because what happens is the soul starts coming into operation. Now, the soul is the main enemy of the spirit within you. And I hate to say it, that we are three-part beings. We have a spirit, soul, and body based on 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. Now, the problem is that the spirit is the part of the human personality that was directed and breeded by God at creation. It is therefore capable of direct union and communications with the Creator in 1 Corinthians 6:17. Paul says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. It would not be correct to say one soul with him. Only one man's spirit is capable of direct union with God. But when the soul gets in, that opens up the doors to the strong man of unbelief. It could be a gatekeeper. It could be a principality. It could be, I don't know the rank of the power of that spirit based on what you have done and what you opened up in your life if there's no faith. First thing you got to do to get this strong man out, you got to start getting into the word and root it out by God's word. God's word is very powerful. Very, very powerful. At the fall, as a result of man's sin, disobedience, his spirit was cut off from God. And at the same time, his soul began to express self independently of his spirit. The new disjointed relationship was both the consequences and the expressions of man's rebellion against God. And this what interferes with the healing within ourselves. Now, the Bible says that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. They're contrary one toward another, Galatians 5:17. If you also look over there in Romans 7:14 through 28, you'll see the struggle backwards and forth. If it is not a demonic spirit, it may be your flesh, and you may need to fast and pray and get it under subjection so that your thoughts, when you're trying to believe the healing, you don't have any interfere where you can meditate and it'll chew out all of your beliefs. I see it done every day to people. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says that the natural soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And on the other hand, he who is spiritual judges all things. It is obvious that the soulish and spiritual are in opposition to each other. And the devil uses that to block you from believing. The spiritual person is functioning according to God's will. The soulless person is out of harmony with God. The soulless person seeks to apprehend spiritual truth in the realm of his soul, but is unable to do so. The spiritual person is united with God through his spirit and is thus able to receive spiritual revelation directly from God. Some may have a soulless stronghold, and if you have that, you're going to have to break it so that you can get your healing. So we see that the soul has a lot to do with interfering with the things of God. Go and tell the people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but not perceive. Do not perceive. May the heart of this people be dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understanding with their heart, and return to be healed. Isaiah 6:9-10. Because of the hardness of their heart, they have become blinded to what God wants to do. God asks, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Now, when you don't have no delight in the word of God, and you're doing lip service, and you're playing games, you're not going to get healed from nothing. And you women, if you ain't submit to your husband and everything, how are you going to get healed? You men, if you're not submissive to Christ and to everything, how are you going to get healed? It's based on our obedience to God. God is a father to us. And God has rules. And God doesn't delight in unrighteousness. So if we're doing things that's hindering the healing, you may need to check yourself. It could be sin. So they were blinded. You dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, Ezekiel 12:2. We are a rebellious house. The church is a rebellious house, and it is time that rebellion be stopped in the body of Christ so people can get healed. We live in a nation that is rebellious. Oh, y'all, see what's going on with Donald Rumpy. I told you 3 months ago the Lord revealed to me that he's going to get impeached. And everything God says, this radio station, I said, everybody keep praying, keep binding these demons in them, bind the demons in the Democrat, bind the demons in the Republican, bind demons, bind them everywhere. We are at a spiritual mudslide in this nation. I told you, that ain't make America, that's demonic. That's a very racist man. A liar. And this is what's pulling in America. We live in a nation that is rebellious. And if you have that stuff in your heart toward him or anybody, you can't get healed. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. This means that there is a king on the throne. And that means that we have no rights. He is sovereignly God, says. We don't have rights like they have in the world. Zechariah 7:9-12 tell us, show mercy and compassion, but they refused to heed their shoulders and stopped their ears so they could cry nor hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the word which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit. Through the former prophets, thus great wrath came from the house of the Lord. So if you are rejecting the word of God, don't even ask to get healed. The Lord just told me, I'm hearing Proverbs 13:13, Mike. I just got that on Word of Knowledge. Proverbs 13:13.
All right. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded.
Now, if you're talking about wanting to get healed and you're despising the word of God, that's a stronghold of unbelief blocking you. Why are we privileged to stand here today rejoicing the blessings that God promised Israel? Because God consistently called out to his own, and they did not respond. Jesus says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in Matthew 5:24. But when he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, they rejected him. They wanted none of him. But John said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, John 1:12. And if you have a right to believe in his name, you have the right to receive all of the blessings and healing of God. But guess what? Is it the strong man? It blocks that. I hope you're learning some. Brother Mike, am I explaining to people where they can understand what's blocking the healing?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Yes, that's us. Amen. And God did it for the children of Israel. And God was jealous, so God's grace was poured on us to the Gentiles, because Israel continues to refuse to accept him. But in Romans 11, it tells us that Israel was a natural vine, and they were cut off because of their unbelief. We are gifted in and stand in the presence by faith. The only way we can stand in his presence is by faith. Then we can receive the blessings of God. Because of our unbelief, we are broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be hungry, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. You got to have faith. And that is the key to getting healed. Just because he has opened the door of grace to us does not mean salvation is automatic. We have to walk through the door of faith. So do not be high-minded. If unbelief cut off Israel, it will also cut us off. We must see unbelief as our enemy in getting healed from anything that we need, or from asking God anything that we may need in his name. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 and 13. We live in a day where we need to exhort one another daily, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. Now, sin really stops healing. My God. Sin stops healing. What is sin? The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief means to miss the mark. That is sinful. Unbelief. Now, Brother Mike, give me Romans 14:23.
All right. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Now, if you don't have faith, you're sinning. So that blocks off all of these benefits I'm trying to show you. You see, it's not the devil all the time. It's you that won't believe. I've come that they might have life, and they may have it more abundantly. That's for everybody. So why not you getting healed? If you come for abundancy, then why not the strong man of unbelief, the doubt, the skepticism, the intellectualism, your mind, the eyeballs, your natural thinking, your humanistic reason, your devilish wisdom, James, gets in the way. Give me James 3:15. That came out of my spirit. Mike, you got to talk to him about that letter. You said you're going to go Cleveland Brown.
James chapter 3, verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
That type of wisdom stops healing. I'm going to act like I'm the doctor, Brother Mike, and I'm going to act like you finna get a diagnosis, and I want you to stand on the word of God. I'm going to keep trying to pound you to make you believe you got 6 months, yeah?
Okay.
Good evening, Brother Mike. This is Dr. Wilmington. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right, sir.
I got your reports. You ain't going to make it. 6 months, you're out of here. You got anything to say?
What you mean, 6 months?
You're going to be gone. You're going to be gone. Honestly, no medical. Can't else help you, so... That's it, brother. I'm sorry about that. You must go ahead and get a hold of hospice and get your paperwork ready, because you're going to be out of here in 6 months.
No. You got to tell me more than that. No. You got to tell me more than that.
You see what I'm saying? That's how the devil will jam you. That's how you do it, Mike. He don't care nothing about you. And you Christians are letting the doctors tell you you can't get healed. You letting the program tell you can't get healed. You know, I'm healed by something. I'm healed. And the Lord said to me, why do you want to see the manifestation of the sickness if I've healed you? I receive that. The sin of unbelief means to miss the mark. God has a goal and a purpose for us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God's plan for us. It's glory and abundant glory. We have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That is planned for us. The thief does not expect us to ask God to forgive us when we sin, because what the thief wants you to do is go and get condemned and separate yourself more from the God, and that opens up demons and it stops you from getting healed. Do we say that we go to church on Sunday? Of course, I don't recognize Sunday. If you do, that's fine. I'm a Sabbath keeper. Ain't nowhere in the Bible for me, but I do go to church Sunday. You know, I don't have no problem going to visit. If I got a pastor, someone have a doctrine with that. I don't cause confusion. Psalms 103, oh, how good is the unity for brothers to dwell together. That doesn't mean the person is going to miss the mark. That's to leave that up to them and the Lord and work on that. But if God has revealed something personally to you, then you abide by it. He particularly told me to worship on Sunday, on Saturday. I just want to tickle your ears. I want to tell you how wonderful I am. Tell me how great I am. Now you go to a church. You hearing somebody preaching. And they're not preaching anything that's going to build your faith up. And you're going to keep hearing it. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear. And you may get doctrinal error. Spirit of error is in 1 John 4:6. That can stop your healing. Some would depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That definitely will stop you from getting healed. You don't see no healing in these prosperity ministers, do you? They're not even concentrating on that. They don't care nothing about that at all. That's not in their agenda. You're going to go give all this money and you can't even see a miracle? He that has an ear, let him hear. Jesus says, he who has an ear to him, let him hear. In Matthew 13:9, the word let means that we have a choice. We can choose to hear or we can choose not to hear. How many of us say to the Lord, God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. I know I shouldn't do this, but please forgive me for what I'm about to do, because I chose to do what I'm about to do. Each of us need to heed the word of the Lord to his children in these last days. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. See, when we are sinning like this against God and we're not fighting it or confessing, we are willfully going into it, man, that's spiritual pollution. And that can block your healing. Then he spoke to me many things in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they have not much earth, and immediately sprung up because they have not any depth on earth. But when the sun was up, they are scorched, and because they have no root, it withered away. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, and others fell on good ground and yielded a corp. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear to hear. And the disciples came to him, saying, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered, said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, but to them it has not been given. The word mysteries means a hidden treasure. God hides these so that we can obtain them only by searching the truth. Are hidden so that in order to find them, we are compelled to dig them out. And the digging test of our desire for truth. Jesus talked about the pearl of great price built in a field. What is it then about? This is a treasure that we need to dig out to find. It has been freely given to us, but we got to find it, dig it, and search it. And then when you find it and digging and searching, you got to believe it. And when you believe it, that strong man going to come and say, that don't work. Oh, them demons coming. For whosoever has to him to move, God wants you to move in him and believe in him and abide in him. But them demons are going to say, he's not going to heal you. They're going to always try to attack you and always try to tell you that God can't heal you. God won't heal you. They'll do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over until you don't believe. Now, we're going to look at some reasons why the provisions of the cross are not being fulfilled in our lives. The Bible says, whose mind of the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe. Now, if you are a Christian, that means that the God of this world can blind your understanding of the Bible to block you from understanding faith and revelation. That is a strong man. And some of you need some help. Satan, the God of this world, wants to blind unbelievers to the truth that they can get healed. Satan don't want you to believe that. So he's going to throw the obstacles in front of you. He's going to he's going to bring familiar spirit. And familiar spirit, let me write down what all he likes and what he don't like. How we can attack this man or this woman or whoever this is that's trying to believe for this healing. They don't want you to get healed because Jesus said, go tell everybody the good things of what God has done for thee. People walk out of church on Sunday, can't tell nobody nothing. But the preacher put them to sleep. He is doing everything he can to keep us from seeing the fullness of the truth through God's word. The parable of the sower and the sower shows us clearly things that affect our ability to hear and see spiritual truth. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches it away that was sown in their heart. That is he who receives seed by the wayside, Matthew 13:19. When we hear the word preached and we hear it in our ears, but we do not understand it, the devil comes and takes the seed, and it does not bring forth fruit. We are dealing with demons. And most of the time, throughout 10 years of my life, I have seen people lose their faith because of demonic intervention. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endure only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word's sake, immediately they stumble because they're in the flesh. When some people first get saved, they are excited about the Lord and what he's done. The first thing they do is to go out and tell their friends what God has did. They fired up. And their old friends make fun of them. And then God begin to bless them. And then they begin to understand about the devil. And then, boom, they get hit. And because they don't know anything about the ministry of deliverance, God help these people. And the pastors haven't talked to them about a strong man or a spirit that can block their healing. They go in ignorance. This is why it's imperative for all of you to listen to me tonight, to study the Bible for yourself. Ask God through the Holy Ghost to reveal his word. And if you don't have a love for the word of God, you got a problem. You call yourself a Christian. Some of us can't get healed because the strong man of the world is still living in you. Take heed of yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with drunkenness and the cares of life. And the day come of you unexpected, for it will come as a snare of all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Luke 21:34-35. If you got the world and love not the world, neither the things in the world, that is a strong man that can stop you from getting your healing. All these snares will come upon us. We must understand the trials, temptation, tribulation, and persecution are common to all of us. They will come, but take heed. What does this mean? It means do not go to sleep. Do not become dull of hearing. Do not let a spirit of unbelief cause you to go to sleep and miss your blessing. Don't let it happen. And the devil keeps seeking in your mind. He go again. You ain't going to get no healing. You're not going to get no job. This ain't going to happen. Your wife will never change. Your son, and y'all keep hearing it. And keep hearing it, and they get bombard you with it. Before you know it, everything you was believing gone. Watch therefore and pray always that you may count it worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. The devil wants to take the seed out of our hearts for inner healing, take the seed out of our hearts for miracles. He wants to take the seed out of our hearts for any divine healing, whether it is a phlegmatic soul to be restored from hurt or healing from the natural body. He don't want you to have none of it. We have the responsibility. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have an earthly vessel. The Old Testament says, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns in Jeremiah 4:3. Break up your fallow ground in your hearts. It's also in Hosea 10:12. For it is time to seek the Lord until he come and bring righteousness upon us. We have a responsibility to break up the fallow grounds in our heart and get ready for the seed of God's word to be sown in us so that we can eradicate ourselves from these strongholds or these demonic spirits or your flesh that can hinder you from receiving your miracle from God. The Bible says, circumcise your heart and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ask God to circumcise. Get that heart, because the heart is evil. And if the heart is interfering, the heart is desperately wicked above all imagination. Go on, look at Mark 7. Let me go and go there, because the Lord's telling me about that heart. You see, all this blocks. These are strong men that blocks your healing. And God is trying to show you tonight what blocks your healing. Oh, I got it down. I'm healed. I don't want to see no manifestation of it. I'm healed. Now, if this is in your heart, you can't get healed. You got to get this stuff out. Mark 7:20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man, for within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. You got that going on all day? How you going to get healed? Adulteress. Oh, you ain't going to get healed with that. Donald Trump, you are an adulteress. You're old adulteress. 2 Peter 2:14, children got curses all on them. Old lying spirit. Don't even get me started with Rumpy. Far from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulterous fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and foul the man. Now, how are you going to get healed if all that's in your heart? Strong man. That the devil will use that to stop your healing. This is why people can't get healed. It's not because of God. It's because one of these things that I'm explaining to you has to hit you and attack you, and it's blocked you from your healing. What are foreskins for? It's for protection. According to Jeremiah 4:4, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. How many of you know that we have built a little protection around our hearts? We are prone to say, no one is going to hurt me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Right out of the pit of hell. Even if you build your walls, words do hurt. But Christ has made position and provisions for all of us. He has taken our rejection, grief, sorrow, and has already bore these at Golgotha. What the devil wants you to do is to put them back on you so you can't get healed. It's a trick. I'm hearing Galatians 3:1 and 2, Brother Mike. It's a trick. It's a trick from the devil.
Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?
Read again.
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?
See there? Now the Galatians was being taken out the game because they weren't using faith. They became bewitched by the enemy. Notice this goes right back to faith and Jesus. Am I right, Brother Mike?
Yes, sir.
That stops the healing. The deaf and dumb spirit is rooted in unbelief. If you got that spirit in you, you won't get no healing. And there are no creatures hidden from the sight, but all things are naked and open to the eye to him to whom we must give an account, Hebrews 4:13. He sees everything that is going on. Have you ever been in a place where you read the Bible and get nothing out of it? Blindness, the spirit of the world is blinding us in unbelief. How many of you would like to see that broken off your life tonight? Because if you have the spirit, it's going to stop you from getting healed. You must break it. Another way we're robbed from seeing and hearing God's word is loss of hope. Hope defines make the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life, Proverbs 13:12. Hope defers us when you are believing for something and it does not come immediately. I want to tell you something about tribulation and persecution. You better learn that, because when you're believing God for the healing, persecution is going to come. You don't think the devil's going to come? We have been taught elementary Christianity. I'm teaching combat Christianity, not elementary. Be sober. Be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. So the minute you're going to pray and ask God to heal you, oh, you don't think he's going to come give you a visit? Seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. That was in the faith. Everything in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. 1 Peter 5:8-9. What is this saying? The same afflictions, tribulations, and persecutions that you are going through, and all brotherhood in the kingdom are going through the same thing everywhere. Doesn't matter. Everyone is not, everybody's single. So Satan check out everybody. So ain't nobody will be oblivious to it, and it won't happen to them. It is not, don't even think that that's going to happen, because as long as you're on earth, you're an enemy to the devil. But we, by the grace of God, who calls to us his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, 1 Peter 5:10, who knows how long a while is? You got to be patient. The devil gets y'all. See, when y'all don't have no patience, let me say something, it is impossible. I'm a deliverance minister. I don't know about no other, I'm not a prophet or none of that. I operate in it, but it is impossible to be effective in a deliverance ministry if you're in the soul. If you're in your mind, your human thinking, it's impossible. Won't work. Same way for you Christians. You got to suffer. But he say for a while. And if you don't want to suffer, why should God heal you? You have to suffer. I don't know when or why. I have to suffer. I don't want to. But Mike, do you want to suffer?
No, sir.
But we have to. Who knows how long it would take? We are in a generation that expects instant gratification. That's our problem. We want God to heal us right now. Boom. And if you don't hear, you get attitude. That's what's wrong with you, because your heart ain't right. That's probably why you're not getting healed. If we ask for something, we want it right then. The devil uses that to knock us right out of the kingdom. Remember, it is for a while. He ain't going to tell you that when the devil is tempting you. What is God doing to do for you after you stand? God is going to make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle and keep the seed in your heart. Be like a man in the parable of Mark chapter 4, verse 26 and 29. A man goeth out and sow in his field. Then he goes to bed and sleep. What is he doing? He is waiting for something to happen to the seed. Now he does not get up during the night and dig it up and check on it. Or he might check it a few minutes, a few weeks to see what's going on and spot it. He does not dig the seed up. Why? Because he knows that something's going to happen. And he believes that the harvest and the time of the field that he planted it was in perfect harmony with the universal God's law, so that thing can grow. And he got it, and it grew because he was in the perfect will of God. And when that happens, we can get healed, we can get blessed, and we can receive the things of God. It's conditional. But the devil's not going to tell you that when you're trying to get healed. He ain't going to tell you that. The eyes of the blind shall and will be opened. God promised a day. The deaf shall hear the word of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall all see out of darkness. Isaiah 29:18. Healing is here for all of us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall come over the earth, and deep darkness of the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Then shall you see. Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 5, and Isaiah 60, verse 5. As the children of the kingdom, we are here to what? Strengthen the weak hand, make firm the feeble knees, say to those who are fearful, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Isaiah 35:3-5. because of your faith you can get healed. One thing Jesus said in Luke 4:18 was that his anointing include recovery of sight to the blind. I believe the recovery of blindness is both natural and spiritual blindness. You need to be recovered from both of them. We must have our eyes open so we can help others. We do not want to be blind leading the blind, and that's the problem. If you can understand and unlock the mysteries of the revelation of Christ, you will get blessed. Stop the thinking, the negative thoughts coming to you when you're trying to believe something. The devil's going to use the mind as a portal hole, as an avenue to flood you with negativity. Don't do that. How many all? What does he want to do? Heal all who are oppressed of the devil. Jesus says he wants to heal all. That's in Acts 10:38. And if he wants to heal all, then he can do it. But you know what the problem is? A lack of faith is a major problem. I want you to understand that the evil spirit, which we have to deal with, wants you to see nothing but faith. No, he don't want that. He wants nothing but a lack of faith. And when you get a lack of faith operating in you, it'll break down any gift. A lack of faith will chew out your healing because you're meditating on it, you're fearful, you don't have no faith. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has epilepsy and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered, said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long should I be with you? How long should I be here with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, saying, why could we not cast this out? Jesus said to him, because of your unbelief. Even the disciples, if they had unbelief, can't nothing happen. That's for any of us. Now, Romans 2:11 said God shows no respect to persons. That works for any of us, whether you're an apostle, layman, or no, just a Christian. If you got any unbelief in your heart, it will move you away from getting healed by God. What is the key? It is the faith that's of a seed of mustard seed. And if we can have that faith and stand on it and believe on it and allow it to grow, your healing can get done. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you dumb and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter no more. Then the spirit convulsed him greatly and came out. And he became as one dead, so many as he was dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said, this kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. If you see that you have a demonic spirit that's hindering you from receiving your healing, get some deliverance. Self-deliverance, call here. Email us at overagenavy1@gmail.com. Because the strong man of unbelief, it will hinder you. It will do everything it can to stop you from getting blessed. It don't want you to be blessed. Now watch this. Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whatsoever he sees him, it throws him down, for he foams at the mouth, gashing in his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they cannot. He answered the father of the epileptic and said, O faithless generation, break generational curses, because you may have a generation in your bloodline that's faithless. Break that curse based on Galatians 3:13. And when you break that curse, ask the Lord to free you from a faithless generation. Some of you could be operating in that and don't even know that you are operating in that, and that can open up a curses. Our fathers have sinned, you bore their iniquities. So break curses. Break doubt, unbelief, skepticism. Renounce skepticism. Renounce the spirit of fear. Renounce the spirit of intellectualism. These things are strongholds that will block you from getting healed, that will keep you in bondage, and that will keep you in torment. And God says he don't want that. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son in John 3:16. God has counted the children for the seed to be counted. Give me Romans 9:8 before we close.
All right. Romans 9:8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
And that seed is Jesus. But if you're of the flesh, you're not of God. So if you're living in the flesh, that stronghold is going to keep feeding off that, and it's going to block your deliverance. It's going to block your healing. It's going to block the things that God has for you. So repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Repent and say, Lord, I'm not going to let no more unbelief come at me. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to believe that I'm healing, regardless of how you feel. And when you're walking on feelings, brothers and sisters, that is far away from faith. God bless you. We're running out of time. We got 240 subscribers. We're going on 250. We have 300 subscribers by this year. It's been a blessing to be on internet radio. It's been very challenging, but it has been a blessing. We would ask that you continue to support us, and please tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. That is our marketing, that you tell someone about this if you have learned. If you would like to become a member, email us at overtonab1@gmail.com. You have to forgive me. I do get a lot of emails, and I'm only here by myself. Pastor Michael here, Brother Michael. We apostles, but we ain't into the calling Apostle Michael, Apostle Emmett. Just call us Brother Emmett. We don't like all that. Yeah, everybody know I'm an apostle, but please keep it real. They'll call me Brother Emmett because I'm very uncomfortable with that. I love all of you. Please support this ministry in your prayers. I need you to pray for me. I'm going on a tremendous attack. Please pray for me. Pray for the radio station. Pray for Israel. Pray for this country. We're seeing some really stuff that's happening that's very, very evil in our nation. And Christians, you got to stop. Y'all got to stop taking political sides and deal with the truth. This is very wicked that's going on in this nation. And some of you Christians who vote for this man, you need to ask the Lord, should I continue to put this? Let God's will be done when you go to the boot, not your will. Don't forget to sow a seed here to keep us on the air. We need contributions. We don't ask that often, but we do need the contributions. And please do that so that we can keep this ministry going. God bless you. We're about to get ready now to come into the room, 646-378-1857. And we're going to open up a summarization by Pastor Durden and Brother Mike's opinion and see what we got going there. We're going to see you tomorrow. Don't forget to sow a seed at Live Deliverance Internet. And please don't forget to tell somebody about our broadcast. Shalom to you. Big Mike Dalton says, give them something slow. They got to use the restroom. They're coming back. They want Brother John's summarization.
All right. I'll hit the music.
I'll abide under your wings. Jesus, Jesus, you're my fountain where my life and thanks begin. Fullness of joy I'm trying to find, that secret place where I can hide. No sinful thoughts in my mind, just you and I getting lost in time.
in all my ways, acknowledge you. If you said no, then I won't move. Quick to listen, I cannot speak, 'cause now your spirit speaks to me. A peace of mind.
To end our teaching, I'm so sorry. The Holy Spirit reminded me to go back to, for all of you to say a prayer to get delivered. Now, I want to lead you in a prayer, and when you get to the end of this prayer, I want all of you to come out of agreement with the spirit of unbelief, blindness, and the deaf and dumb spirit. I believe that the deaf and dumb spirit can affect not only our spiritual hearing, but our natural hearing. When you pray, pray from your heart. And at the end of the prayer, command the spirit to go out. Just breathe them out. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I ask your forgiveness for unbelief, which has allowed the spirit of unbelief to torment me in my life. The spirit of unbelief has robbed me of the faith you have given me, Lord. I come asking you to forgive me for letting the devil give me this unbelief. I confess the sins of generational and unbelief in my family and of the pastors who have stood in the pulpit and confessed the days of miracles are over. Lord, forgiveness of sin is only a part of your promise and your report. So, Lord, I ask your forgiveness for not believing the whole report. Lord, I confess my unbelief as sin. And I ask you to heal our land. Now, wherever you at, whatever country, name your country. You said that if your people would confess their sins, you would heal our land. I ask you to heal our nation, our area, our community. Start in me individually and deliver me of my unbelief. I come out of agreement with the spirit of unbelief, blindness, deafness that have robbed me in the name of Jesus. I confess the sins of allowing the spirit of unbelief in my life. I ask you, Father, to forgive me for hardening my heart. And I ask you, Father, to forgive me for the times I asked you to do something and you did not do it immediately and I lost hope. And a lot of you have done that. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for not hanging on to that seed of hope and blessing your word says. Lord Jesus, when you come, I want you to find faith in my heart. I want to endure to the end. I want to fight the good fight of faith. Now I thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering me from the spirit of unbelief and blindness. Because Satan is the god of this world, wants to blind me from believing the full report of the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth. I want nothing to do with him anymore. I will believe what your word says, not what I see. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a vessel unto the Holy Spirit, and the eternal power of the Godhead dwells in me. Lord Jesus, I ask you now to deliver me from all deafness and dumbness. I place my finger in my ear right now. Now put your finger in your ear. I place my finger in my ear right now, and I command you, spirit of deaf, dumb, to come out of my body. I command my ear to be healed physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I claim all of Isaiah 53, and I will hear what God has to say. I will hear what God has to say to my spirit. Now, devil, I command you to get out of my life in the name of Jesus, you spirit of unbelief. I bind you. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go away from me and all God's people. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen. Okay, Reverend Dilton Wallace, Dr. C.D. Dilton, to Brother Mike. He says, where's Durden?
Pastor Durden.
Yes, John, Pastor John is here.
I know this song, this whole thing was written out by you or Mike. Now, which one of y'all wrote that? Because I'm not buying that.
What he's claiming that we wrote what you told on tonight?
Yeah, he said he's buying it. You and Mike, had, both of y'all, hold up. He said, hold up. Both of y'all got the degrees. I know somebody, who's doing what now? Come on.
Brother Mike and I are both in agreement, recognizing that, which I alluded to several times in the past, that like you, sir, was called into the ministry of being a pastor and some music ministry and so forth. Well, remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's about the best example I can give. But God called those men, and God taught them himself. They were not taught by any theologians. They were not taught by the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were taught directly by God, and it's the same instance with respect to Brother Emmett Overton. I can remember when he was sitting in my office, when he was trying to come back to the Lord and everything else. He had just experienced his new birth again, where he rededicated his life to the Lord. And while he was in my office, God spoke to him and said, "My son, I will teach you my word." And that's what God did. From that moment on, for the past 10 years, God was teaching him. He would come in my office and blow my mind. He'd come in and say, "Hey, what's a chauffeur?" And I go, "Chauffeur? I never heard of that before."
We've got three more minutes, Brother John. Okay. We've got another person. We've got 3 minutes. We've got another person, Brother Mike.
So the Lord taught him everything he knows. And like he was teaching tonight, God was telling him what to say. He was verbally repeating what he was hearing in his spirit. He was repeating what he was hearing in his spirit.
Another one, Dr. Jackson says, "Give me your summarization of it. What is your opinion of that type of sermon? Be honest, don't because he's your friend. Give me your theological interpretation, please."
It was awesome. And you know, like I said, you know why I say it's awesome? Because I knew it wasn't him. It was the Holy Spirit of Jesus telling him what to say. That it's in the spirit. He reads that Bible, 7, 8, 9 hours every day. The word is in his spirit. And what the Lord is doing is telling him what to say. He's repeating what he's hearing, folks. I don't know why that's so hard to understand. It's like when Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, when they were teaching to those Hebrew people and everything else and talking to the Pharisees, he was saying, they were saying what the Holy Spirit was telling them to say and what Jesus was telling them to say. It's just that simple. They're only repeating what they're hearing in their spirit. You know, my sheep hear my voice. That's a good scripture. My sheep hear my voice. And they hear Jesus' voice. Jesus is telling him.
We got another one from Reverend Galton to Brother John and Brother Mike. Brother Mike.
Yes, sir.
Brother John.
Uh-huh.
Reverend Galton says they're going to burn you and Michael out. Brother Michael has been a pastor tonight. They're burning him out. They're going to burn y'all out tonight.
Okay.
Brother John. Brother John. You explain to Brother Mike what burning out is. Tell them what they're going to do. They're going to burn him out. Tell them what they're going to do, Brother John.
They're going to march down the aisle with candles. And they have the candle and have our names on the candle. Like the last two nights, they had about seven deacons or seven armor bearers, I don't know, was walking down the aisle with candles with my name on it, John Durden. And then
they're
going to
burn
them
out, Mike.
We going to burn him out, and we going to burn him. We going to do this, and we do that. He no longer, we going to no longer recognize him as a Baptist affiliation with us. He's a nobody.
What
he's a heretic. And we burn him out. He no longer, he no longer exists.
Yeah, that's what
and guess what happened?
They say, Brother,
guess what happened?
Tell him, Brother John, tell Brother Mike.
Guess what happened?
Tell Brother Mike,
hey, Mike,
tell
guess what? They went through the ceremony burning me out. And all I said was to tell you what, when you get ready to cast out a demon, just remember, if you fail and that demon beats your butt, that means all that ceremony you had is nothing, that you're an unholy vessel. And it would prove that I am a man that loved the Lord with all my heart. I don't teach lies. So, brothers, that's God speaking through them, and that's all I can say. We're not telling them anything. God is speaking to them.
Sounds like foolishness, honestly. Burning people out. Okay.
Yeah, burning people out. Ain't no such thing, man. Ain't no such thing. My God.
Okay.
And then another thing about three crown bishops. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. You didn't, Brother John, Brother Mike.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Snooker says, y'all bothering us. It isn't such a thing as a three-crown bishop. What the hell is going on here? Snookum. He says he's burning you out tonight, Brother Mike. You'll be burnt out with Brother John.
Okay.
Yeah. All we got to say, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
And Brother Mike says that you've been influenced by Brother John, and Brother John is working both of us, pimping us. He's writing out the sermon. Nobody believe in you.
Oh, really? Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Dude, that's, you know what? He's teaching deliverance. I don't know a thing about deliverance, brother. I'm learning, you know, a little bit. Little bit by little bit.
Reverend Sanders want to talk to Brother Mike. What is your educational background? He wants to know your educational background, please.
Yeah, education really don't matter when it comes to the ministry of deliverance. But if you must know, I have a master's and I have a bachelor's. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who taught you deliverance?
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. That you said it right. See, his mind. It's mine. The Lord told me it's mine. The devil got him talking about he wanted to get brother him get credit. Man, I don't get credit taken to the Lord. Holy Spirit taught. I don't want no credit from God. I'm Aaron boy. Uh oh. Reverend Spilton wants to speak to you, Brother Mike. Reverend Spilton.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I'm a hooper. I got a problem with you and Durden.
Okay.
Brother John?
I'm listening.
Got a problem with both of you. He said, I'm a hooper, and y'all don't like hooping.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke
it,
the truth.
He
said they're going to burn,
they're gonna
burn you out tonight, too. You're going to get burnt out.
Yeah.
We don't care. nobody getting burnt. Hey, Brother Mike, you ain't never been no Baptist in your life, right?
Yeah, I was, but I renounced it.
Oh, he said, now, Brother John, can you hear me?
Yeah.
That pastor lying on the Lord, talking about the Lord just told me he was a Baptist. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that lying. Well, we got to get ready to go for these clowns here, Brother Mike. We got to go do a deliverance at 10:30, man. I got a question for one more. Uh-huh. He's emailing. And he said, Brother Mike, why don't you teach that? I don't ever hear you teach what you're scared to teach. Oh.
No, I'm not scared, but I'm also making sure that I'm led by the Spirit when I'm teaching. So if the Holy Spirit hadn't given me the inclination or led me to teach, then I'm not going to teach.
What do you think about John Durden? What do you think about John Durden? He's a heretic to me. Is he a heretic to you?
No, he's not. Not in the least bit. It sounds like honestly, to hear the questions that y'all be asking, y'all sound more like the heretics than anything. But hey,
this
you know,
is all the time, Brother John. Brother John, this is all the time. Brother John, tell Brother Mike about what the mother said to you.
The pastor said he wanted to take up for the for her you know, with the mother of the church wanted to take up for her pastor. And when the pastor called me heretics and everything else, then she said, I got something I want to say too. I got something I want to say. So I said, yes, Mother dear, what do you like to say to me? Oh, nigga, you trying to go to bed with me. I bet you if you saw me, you want to screw me left and right. And I go, excuse me, I never saw you. I've said if you saw me, you would want this pussy. Yeah, you know you couldn't live without me. Yeah, you think you so holy and all that. Just let your eyes fall on me. You be whoring after me the rest of your life, nigga.
That's what she said,
and brother. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And guess what happened? She and I being butt naked up in the ceiling. You better watch what you say. God hear everything you say. You know, you're supposed to be holy men, godly men. And most of them get talking about, you're always talking about hanky-panky. That's our calling. We supposed to, when we're thinking about listening, if you know what hanky-panky is, then you shouldn't get burned out about it. What we do is we talk to those who don't. And you got a lot of men who
listen to you know what, Brother Mike, Brother John, they get mad. They don't. One typed in, why don't you recognize yourself as Apostle Michael? We ain't in the titles like that. Mike, you better tell them how much you can suffer with that name, that title, man. You tell them what you go
through.
Tell them as a man, please.
You going to suffer. You going to suffer
with that. You ain't just take that name and just run with it. That's why people talking about their apostles. They ain't no apostles. They ain't suffering. Apostles suffer, man.
Yeah, the devil going to try to test you to see how much of an apostle you are.
So is
he's going to try to see how much of an apostle
tonight? Who's doing deliverance tonight?
Gun gangster.
No. I'm talking about one of these pastors. Who's doing that? This pastor here or somebody else?
I don't know. I know me and Sister Dirty and the Brother Mike. We finna go do one as soon as we get out of here. We got to go do deliverance.
I think I heard this pastor say he's going to be doing deliverance tonight, something like that.
12:45 Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
9:45
Yeah, I thought I heard him say that.
He's on Pacific Time,
Yeah.
And he said, they'll call you if we ain't doing it. He said, I'll call you to burn you out. They're going to burn you out.
Ain't no such thing. You gonna find out the hard way. You gonna see who get burned.
Big Mike, let's close this out.
You ain't gonna like it a bit.
Mm-hmm. So ain't. We got to do a real exorcism, everybody. We're about to get ready and leave.
All right,
Brother John. Amen. Thank you for listening. We'll call you as soon as this thing is over with. If that man called me, you're gonna be up late because I won't be going to sleep. I gotta get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Because I want to hear this supposedly deliverance.
Okay, close us out, Brother Mike. Me and Brother Mike got to go in the room. We'll see y'all. We got to do a deliverance.
Okay.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Father, for the teaching tonight, Father. Father, we thank you, Father, for the blessings that you bestowed upon this ministry, Father. Father, I ask, Father, that you would please, Father, Father, touch the hearts and minds of those, Father, especially those ministers, those pastors who claim, Father, to be men of God, Father, who claim to follow after you, Father, that they, Father, would see the error in their ways, Father, and the ridiculousness in what they say, Father, that they are walking and acting contrary to your word, Father. Father, have mercy upon them, Father. as we forgive them, Father, for what they say, Father. Continue to watch over us and bless us, Father. Bless this ministry. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
God bless. I'll see you in the room, Mike. God bless.
All right.